And it ends just on that note.
That's
of Mario.
Really nice.
Outstanding.
Yes. For the last 13, 15 minutes or so, you've been listening to...
Gypsy Pond Music.
Gypsy Pond Music. I was going to say a performance.
Seven.
But I don't know if that quite nails it.
I think
I think it's a performance.
It's a section, a portion of the performance, mm-hmm. yeah, going on over the next 4.5 days.
We were just talking about it, and we were saying that it almost sounds too good, too coherent to be
too
true.
Mixed.
Like, what exactly is it that's going on? What are we hearing here?
You want me to take this one?
Yeah, do it.
All right. Well, basically, I'll sort of start from the beginning. We got together, and this is for DME, Digital Musical Ensemble, mm-hmm. University of Michigan, and we're all in the class. We get together, and for about a month beforehand, our lovely professor here, Stephen Rush, would give us readings based around a labyrinth-type idea.
Okay.
And we'd get together, and we talk about it. We discuss, like, what kind of a labyrinth means, what is this, what is this. And we'd all just have this big discussion. Mm-hmm. So eventually, the idea came out that we would have to actually build something that sort of represents these ideas, both in audio and visual space.
Yeah.
So what we did is each student took, at least for the sound part, there's a lot more complex stuff with the visual part, but each student took about 10 samples, and we put them together, and who wrote the random sampler?
Greg Lehman and a bunch of previous students from previous years have put the algorithm together, so it's been tweaked every year.
Well, we have a program that randomly selects six samples mm-hmm. from our Big Ben and plays one of them, interjects the last five, depending on how long someone stands in front of the infrared sensor. And when they leave, it plays the first one again.
Uh-huh.
So it's basically a big random grab bag of sound.
Okay. And the people who are walking by are sort of able to control this by walking past the sensors?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The longer you stand in front of the sensor, the more stuff that'll be playing at once, the more complex and thick it gets. Uh-huh. But if you just sort of saunter by, you'll hear the first thing, maybe a second, and then the first one will return.
We were talking, and... it's very interesting sonically, of course. Mm-hmm. Just the sound that comes out is really fascinating.
Absolutely.
The way these samples work together. But you were saying that it also comes from... The samples are chosen based on experiences in your life.
Mm-hmm. Each person basically grabbed 10 samples that were in some way, shape, or form personal to them and fit the labyrinthian theme.
Mm-hmm.
So everything has some personal relevance to somebody.
Yeah.
So it all sort of meshes together.
You can think of them as like sonic milestones along somebody's life, which is why you're hearing these, you know, goofy things from childhood,
yeah.
and the Mario Brothers, uh-huh. and the Zelda theme, and Suzuki, and all that. But then other things, too, you know, political speeches and whatnot, so all kinds of things.
Famous performances, mm-hmm. bands, that sort of thing for the musicians.
I'm not sure if I build it at the top of the show, but I think I'll make sure. I'm talking here with Chris Fosdick and Professor Steve Rush,
yep.
of the Digital Music Ensemble course. Chris, can you talk a little bit about how this worked, about getting together and choosing these different samples and what went into that?
Well, sure. Well, basically, the way we chose the samples is, like I said, we got together, like the class meets was today. Wednesday?
Today's mm-hmm. Wednesday.
Yeah, Monday, Wednesday. We get in a room for 2 hours, and like there'd be a little bit of guide discussion, but we'd all get together, discuss what labyrinths mean to us, and we'd sort of guide it. Like, originally we had this whole multiple labyrinth idea that we sort of tossed around, but eventually it came into, like, I think Stefan sort of sparked it, where it was more of a constellation idea, where you can sort of see the labyrinth, and the labyrinth changes, and all this funky stuff goes on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we got the visual representation from, because we have little lights sitting on the pond, and they sort of move around, and they flash up and down randomly, also by another computer program,
yeah.
Which is really pretty. And then, uh-huh. what was I supposed to be talking about?
I was asking you about when you were putting this all together, what the process was of talking about your parents and how they got
it. It was basically, the process, when you really get down to the bare bones of it, was... hey, I think this fits. I really feel this. We should do it. It's cool.
Uh-huh.
And then everybody would say, yeah, totally, right on, let's do that. Or somebody would say, I'm not really feeling it. Or sometimes we had flat out, that sucks.
Uh-huh.
I think part of what you were asking, too, is that all the students were asked to identify, out of all the different labyrinth shapes and myths, they had to identify one that really kind of hit them,
okay.
you know, really deeply.
Okay.
And then... I'm not a psychologist, and this isn't group therapy. But on the other hand, they did have to talk about that,
mm-hmm.
and one of the ways I get them to think about that is to have them propose an impossible project, and that comes first, and that's a load of fun. So you're like 16 aliens moving through this anti-gravitational field, see, and you know, I mean, it's like this big thing of Jello where every participant has to die and then resurrect, but then there's
then they go play basketball with like the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, he's actually quoting from. I mean, these are all things that came up, and then from that, there's a core idea that students are asked to propose a possible solution.
Yeah.
And then from there, all those possible solutions or ideas are put on this big board, and we kind of go, what are the basic themes? And the two themes here were continual transformation and recollection.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, we made the algorithm that controlled the music.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of steps to get to this thing.
So the continual transformation works with the piece. That's what it's doing.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Gosh. And with the different samples that people have chosen, you can, I mean, they really hang together really well for one thing. But also, can you sort of feel whose pieces are which, like, or like where in someone's life a piece comes from? Is there a different timber?
Some of them, I think, are sort of obvious, like Zelda.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, I still like to play Zelda and Mario, I'll admit it. But usually, I think when those came out, it was a really big thing in a lot of people's life where you could sit down and, like, hop on little Goombas. And those are sort of easy to pin. Some of the other ones aren't. Like, we were sitting here talking about the Eisenhower speech, and we want to ask the person where that came from in their life.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I talked to a couple of classmates, and we have a lot of musicians in our class. Go figure.
Yeah.
So basically, they had a bunch of famous performances that really meant something by famous performers, bands, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So you can sort of get a general feel for it, but some of them you really need to ask because the personal stuff gets really deep down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what does it sort of take on as its own once it's all together? I mean, for someone who hasn't been up to North Campus yet to see it, like, how does it work when you're there?
Oh, if we could talk about it, we wouldn't do it. That's a snotty remark.
Yeah.
Sorry, but it's partly true, you know.
As much as we hate to say, you really, you'll have to go see it. Mm-hmm. I would recommend it night.
Yeah.
I personally did a lot of the building of the visual representations, and I may be conceited, but I think it looks pretty godly.
Yeah.
Tonight we probably had, I probably talked to, maybe 40, 50 people that experienced it. And I guess one thing they all seem to experience is delight. You know, it's just like, how interesting. And the fact is, they can play this piece, because the way the infrared sensors work, they can sense that they're articulating the beginning of this crazy stuff that you just listened to.
Mm-hmm.
And crazy, I don't know, it's a bad word for it. Organized, wonderful stuff.
We like crazy down here.
Yeah, I know. That's why I listen to you guys all the time. So I donate. You know.
We were talking earlier about pledge driving. You wasn't
glad
kidding.
To put in a plug. Absolutely. Send in your call in, man.
Send quarters, pennies, dollars, whatever you got to.
This is the lifeline. I've been here 18 years, and this is the lifeline.
Oh, gosh.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with the project, you do this every year?
Yeah, this is an annual project. Some of my colleagues say, so, Steve, why do you do the same project every year?
Mm-hmm.
And I say, well,
it's not the same project.
So, X and Y, why do you keep playing Mahler 5 every year? So I have the same question. And the thing is, it gets better every year.
Really?
And it improves and changes. And I have this bizarre and wonderful array of technologies that I can give to the students. Most of them are rejected because they come up with other ideas that demand other technologies.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we have a budget, so we can do this stuff.
So we can throw the money around.
Well, we can't exactly. And
we can't throw it around. We were as thrifty as we could be, but we were sort of ecstatic. We're like, we have money. We don't have to like build this out of cardboard tubes and toothpaper.
No, it's a real
toothpaper. Where was my mind at?
We actually do use toothpaper.
Do?
But it's a very strange and wonderful beast, and there aren't any ensembles like this in the entire country.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really proud of it, frankly. Yeah. I'm really thrilled about it. But what makes it really work is the fact that I get people that are in the engineering school. We've got two dancers in the class.
Wow.
I mean, an art professor was very, very important to this entire project. Michael Rotimer, who works with me a lot. Mm. He teaches mostly interfacing and like microcontrollers and things like that. So it's really an all-campus adventure. It's not just a, you know, we're going to sing this piece with our choir kind of vibe.
Well, It's really cool, and I can vouch for it. I was up there earlier this evening, and I was almost late to the show because I got I was almost late down here because I got caught up playing with the sensors and tweaking the different samples.
That's great.
It's pretty
don't
diverse.
Let it happen to you.
So this is running all week long?
That's right, from noon until 10 p.m. all through this week up until Sunday night. Mm-hmm. And I understand this weekend's, you know, I'll be your weather guy in a minute. Like, this weekend is supposed to be just absolutely beautiful.
Fantastic.
Up into the 60s on mm-hmm. Saturday and Sunday. So it's going to be a great time. But, you know, he's kind of saying how great it is during the night. But I tell you, during the day, these pyramids, they just glisten.
Uh-huh.
It looks like there's crystals on the pond.
Wow.
It's just stellar. So.
Absolutely true.
Yeah.
That's really fantastic.
It's a great date.
We'll be selling hot dogs and popcorn.
That's
yeah.
That's right. We really ought to.
Start charging admission.
That's right.
If anyone wants to get to class.
Well, drive-in showing.
Cents. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
I mean, but it, and it would be worth it. I think that it's mm-hmm. would be worth it to see. And that
absolutely.
It's free just makes it
well,
that
it
much
is,
better.
And it's wide open. People drive every year people drive from Illinois and Ohio and all over the place mm-hmm. to come and check it out, and it is an environment that's really inviting and beautiful. And mm-hmm. the School of Music, if you've never been there, is in a very gorgeous setting.
Yeah,
its own little nook.
Yeah, and so we just kind of take advantage of it.
Well, I'm here with Professor Steve Rush and Chris Fosdick.
Yes.
Okay. Didn't want to get that wrong.
That's fine.
And we've been talking about gypsy music, Gypsy Pond Music, number 7.
That's right. Number 7.
Which is going on continually all day, noon to 10 p.m.?
Noon till 10 p.m. That's right.
Up until Sunday. That's
up
your
until
last
Sunday
chance.
Yeah.
At the School of Music Pond on North Campus.
Yes.
All right. Well, thanks for coming down, guys.
Oh, thank
thanks
you for
having
having
us.
Yeah.
It was a good time.
Yeah.